This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
I am Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review. And we are continuing our discussion that we've had over the last few weeks around the issue of what's been going on in our city, and particularly talking about heritage, because one of the things that's come out of the debate that we've been having around the renaming of Sandton Drive potentially to Leila Khaled Drive is the heritage component. A lot of people saying, well, this has to be local, this has to be someone living, it has to not living, dead, whatever, and basically a big debate, not so much on the political aspects but on the heritage aspects, which is an absolutely fascinating part, and it begs the question: like, how do we think about heritage in the city, and what do we do when we are going to do heritage? So we have to find out more about the heritage processes. So in order to do that, we have in studio, I have to say, David Fleminger. He is from the Joburg Heritage Foundation. And he joins us today on the program. David, thank you so much for coming in to chat to us.
Hi, Benji. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love your work, and hopefully we get to talk about the secret, Joburg's secret waterfall, which I love to talk about. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there in a minute. Let's start with the idea of heritage in the city. I mean, Joburg is a young city in some respects.
Very.
You know, it's only 38 years old, I think.
38 years old.
I think it was just the other day was its birthday. So when we think about heritage, it's not like Rome, right? We don't have an Acropolis to look after. But nonetheless, there are heritage aspects to the city that we need to think about.
Definitely. Just because Joburg is a very young city by world standards doesn't mean we don't have heritage. Heritage begins almost at inception. Mm-hmm. And then the longer you exist, the more and more complex the heritage becomes. Joburg is a very complex city with layers and layers of meaning, of heritage, of interpretation. Our history is complicated as well. So at the Heritage Foundation, our goal is to promote and protect the heritage of the city, especially that heritage that is being neglected or, I could say, abused, but through lack of maintenance or lack of respect or lack of acknowledgement sometimes.
And one of the things I often say to people from a perspective of this listenership is that Joburg is interesting because it's really one of the few cities in the world that has a large Jewish community at its inception.
Correct.
Even Jerusalem doesn't have that claim to fame. And so really when you start to dig into the history and heritage of Johannesburg, you run very quickly into the Jews who helped create the city.
It is very unusual in that Johannesburg is one of the few cities, as you said, where a Jewish community was there from the beginning, from day one. Remember, there was nothing here before gold. There was a settlement in Heidelberg and Pretoria. And this particularly, it's actually quite a barren and dry part of the Highveld. It's a terrible place for a city. There's no water. There's no transport routes.
No defense.
It's a terrible place for a city. But there's gold. So that is why the city grew up where it did. And from the beginning, whether it was as financiers coming from the diamond fields, whether it was service industry people coming from the Smosers who were selling pots and pans off the back of their wagons, whatever it was, the commerce, the sudden rush of commerce did attract Jews from its inception. And Joburg has a very tightly integrated Jewish identity woven into its history, definitely.
Now, on this question of how we sometimes change history, right? Acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it. So there's been a lot of these debates around Leila Khaled Drive and what it means. But in general terms, when the city is thinking about doing a heritage change, I mean, we had William Nicol being turned to Winnie Mandela, for example, which is pretty nearby. Like, what sort of things do city planners think about when we're talking about changing heritage and engaging with it?
Well, as I say, heritage is complicated. We shouldn't be under the illusion that it's a black or white situation. And from the Heritage Foundation's point of view, we believe that those discussions, those dialogues are good. We enjoy discussing the nuances. We enjoy discussing the shades of gray in between the heritage. We're also apolitical. We don't support any political party. We don't support any ideology as such. Our focus is heritage and results in terms of saving or protecting the heritage. So we embrace those dialogues. They're good conversations to have as long as they're held constructively and openly. And we certainly don't pretend that, you know, heritage or history, for that matter, is simple. History, as they say, is written by the winners. And that's very often the case. Mm-hmm. It's not just an idiom. It's really true. People who have, you know, who come into power will then adjust the narrative retroactively to support their particular agendas. So, yes, heritage is often contested. That isn't necessarily a bad thing. It is a discussion to be had, and we embrace those complexities.
Right, so there we go. We're talking to David Fleminger today. He is from the Joburg Heritage Foundation. We're talking about heritage, how it works, how it operates, and where it operates in our city. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 High FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 High FM. We're talking heritage and history today with David Fleminger from the Joburg Heritage Foundation. Now, Dave, we sort of got onto the question of dialogue and discussion before the break, but there are bylaws and policies that the city has when they do these sorts of name changes. So what sort of things are the city taking into consideration?
Well, I downloaded the bylaws in terms of renaming of geographical features and roads. And to their credit, it's a very good document. It's been revised 4 times. The last time was 2017. So it's not like an old dusty document that's been sitting there doing nothing. And they have some very good principles that they themselves have promulgated and which now need to be followed.
Adhered to,
you know, they are bylaws. And there are quite a few things that it says. Just off the top of my head, just scrolling through this document, it says that firstly, names should as far as possible be after themes such as flora, fauna, minerals, geographical features, historical events. Only in rare cases should people's names be used. That must be accompanied by a detailed motivation and profile indicating why the specific person is worthy of the honor. It then goes on to say that the criteria for the selection of names should include, let me just scroll down to that little section here. Naming after living people should be avoided because community attitudes and opinions can change over time, which is entirely valid. Names should not be discriminatory or derogatory from the point of view of race, religion, ethnicity, disability, sexuality, gender, color, creed, political affiliation, or other social factors. Names should promote goodwill and reconciliation. So, you know, all these clauses are in this document.
Yes.
And so, as you know, while we certainly aren't going to weigh in as the foundation in terms of whether or not this particular figure is worthy under the terms of the bylaws, we certainly don't believe that the naming of Sandton Drive after Leila Khaled meets these objectives.
The ones that the city has
promulgated and adheres to. So, you know, purely from that point of view, we have to look at the document and say, well, this doesn't compute.
Right. So now, Dave, talk to us very briefly as we come to the end of the show about the work of the foundation. So, like, when you talk about saving heritage, doing it, what does that actually mean in practice?
The foundation's been around under a different name since the mid-80s, and really it was founded to protect the old mansions in Parktown that were being demolished for office parks. And they were very successful in that. And then in 2012, they expanded the scope of the foundation, of what was then the Parktown and Westcliff Heritage Trust, to cover the entire city, and we became the Joburg Heritage Foundation. We do a lot of things. We run weekly tours on weekends to take people to places that they may not have access to, led by our volunteer guides to bring the city to life and, like, really show people hidden facets of the city or hidden stories that they didn't know, because the more we know about our city, the more we actually appreciate it and the more we can enjoy it. to a degree. We have a research center that has a very valuable archive. We have school tours, educational tours that we run. We have our Blue Plaques program that puts up blue plaques to denote sites or people of historical significance. We have our heritage plans committees, which assist developers and estate agents to comply with heritage legislation in terms of renovations and in terms of redevelopment, because any building older than 60 years automatically qualifies for heritage and technically needs to get approval from the Provincial Heritage Resource Agency to modify them. So we assist with that process to make sure that people are A, being compliant, and we help them be compliant if they're not. And there are various other things. We have Friends of the Johannesburg Cemeteries, which looks after our older cemeteries and does cleanups there. And also we're getting more and more involved with activism and advocacy on behalf of vulnerable heritage properties, such as the City Library, such as the Johannesburg Art Gallery and the Rissik Street Post Office and so on. Properties that are very valuable but are not being looked after by the authorities.
Well, there you go. Go have a look at the Joburg Heritage Foundation on Facebook.
Facebook, Insta, and joburgheritage.org.za. Please check us out.
Yeah, go have a look at that. And also go, if we've only got 2 days, I think, until the deadline ends for the comment on Leila Khaled Drive. So there you can go to Dear South Africa. They've been running a campaign. I saw last night there were 23,000 comments. So go add your name to that. As you heard, this is how the city wants us to do things. These are some of the bylaws. So go and do that. Add your name. We've only got a few more hours, because if you don't comment officially, you can't actually complain afterwards. Brings us to the end of the show for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the whole team. Craig, who pushes all the big red buttons. Vusi is on the sound. And to you, dear listener, who joins us every single week. Do join us again next week on the New Blue Review.